It's that time of year again. The Metropolitan Opera's season is winding to a close, and Opera News has been busy planning its annual gala. In 2005, the magazine established the Opera News Awards to honor artists who have made important contributions in the industry. This year's ceremony will take place tomorrow at the Plaza. And here to share some of his favorite recordings featuring the five artists who will be honored this year and to tell us a little bit about them is the editor-in-chief, F. Paul Driscoll.
Thank you very much, Midge Woolsey.
So great to have you here. Well, first of all, we should tell everyone who the five honorees are.
Mm-hmm. We have Anya Silja, Carita Matila, Dmitry Hvorostovsky, Peter Matei, and stage director and librettist Peter Sellers.
How did the idea for the Opera News Awards come about?
In 2005, we were looking at the Metropolitan Opera Guild celebrating its 70th anniversary and the magazine coming up on its 70th anniversary. So we thought it would be a good idea for us to have this honor given to people who have helped us all celebrate many memorable nights at the opera. It's a way of giving them back something of what they've given to us, all the pleasure over the years.
And tell us a little bit about the process that you go through in choosing the honorees.
It's determined by what we call distinguished achievement, which is a pretty broad definition, but we wanted it to be perceived as an honor, not as a prize. There's no category, there's no contest, there's no voting. It's the editor sitting in a room coming up with a list of five names that we feel in that particular year reflects the richness that is opera. We've honored composers and conductors, and this year a stage director as well as singers. And of course, a lot of it depends on which five moving bodies in this wonderful constellation of opera stars we can get in New York on the same night, which is never easy, but it's always a great deal of fun to put it together.
And possibly the trickiest part of the whole
process. It is indeed. Right? We start the day after these awards, and we shoot for announcing on July 1st.
Let's begin with Russian baritone Dmitry Hvorostovsky, one of the leading baritones on the stage today. One of the things that's impressive about Dmitry is that even though he was voted one of People magazine's 50 most beautiful people in 1991, he clearly did not build his career around his good looks alone. That's just an added plus because we're talking about a very fine artist, right?
Oh, for sure. And he's a serious technician. If you listen to the recording that we're going to play, the breath control is amazing. What's interesting to me about him is that he won the Cardiff Singer of the World competition and then almost delayed his international career until he was absolutely sure he was finished technically and was ready for prime time, as it were. And boy, was he ever, when he made his Met debut in 95 in Queen of Spades. A star was born, and a star has been there ever since.
Well, you mentioned this amazing recording that you've brought along. It's all about Dmitry Hvorostovsky singing the music of his people, which is one of the places where his talents really, really glow, right?
He's from a city in Siberia of about a million people, but he's always been very connected to Russian music. He's done recordings of Russian popular songs. This is from an album of Russian folk songs. So it's strophic. It gets more intense verse by verse.
Kalinka, kalinka, kalinka moja.
were both smiling about that one. Baritone Dmitri Hvozdovsky in the title cut from his 1999 Philips CD, Kalinka, Russian Folk Songs. We heard him with the St. Petersburg Chamber Choir. I'm Midge Woolsey. I'm here with F. Paul Driscoll, editor-in-chief of Opera News. And F. Paul is talking with us about this year's Opera News Awards and sharing some of his favorite recordings featuring this year's honorees. And we're still smiling because that's one of your all-time favorites, right?
It is, I think, probably my favorite recording of his. He's made many great ones, but that vocal entrance to me almost sounds like a bird flying over a landscape. You know, those wonderful aerial shots where you see the top of the bird and then the shadow underneath it. But the other thing about it, which always impresses me, is that when he does these wonderful vocal effects, the melismas, and pushing the voice out and pulling it back, it's always bound to the central rhythm. He always knows his place. So if he takes time away from the vocal line, he's got it all stacked up and ready to pay back in exactly the right order. So it's sensational work.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Anya Celia. Certainly not a household name here in the States, and yet hers was an extremely distinguished career. Why is her name less familiar to us than others?
Simply because she didn't sing that much in the United States. I think her career is unusual because she started very young. She made her professional debut at 19, and then she was discovered very early on by Wieland Wagner and was his muse. She spent most of her career in Europe, but she sang in the principal German houses. She did come to the Met in 1972 as Leonora in Fidelio. I think most people who would have seen her recently in New York would have seen her either as the Kostelnichka in Yenefa with Carita Matila, or in the Macropolis case, which she did at Brooklyn Academy of Music. And she also did, I believe, Erwartung with James Levine and the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. When she was on the cover of Opera News first in 1972 for her debut, she was referred to as the German Callas because her intensity on stage was something that had to be seen as well as heard. She was a total package. Beautiful woman, magnificent figure. But she's got a great sense of the stage. And now she is as effective in parts like the old Countess and Queen of Spades and the Witch and Hansel and Gretel and, as we said, the Kostelnichka, which I thought she was magnificent in here a couple of years ago.
Well, speaking of Wieland Wagner, we're going to hear her in music by Wagner from Tannhäuser. Set this up for us.
This is, I think, a great clip for her because it's Elizabeth's entrance into the Hall of Song.
Thank you.
German soprano Anja Celia in a live recording made in 1962 with the Bayreuth Festival Orchestra conducted by Wolfgang Sawallisch. That was Elizabeth's aria, Dich teure Halle, from Act Two of Wagner's Tannhäuser. I'm Midge Woolsey. I'm speaking with F. Paul Driscoll, editor-in-chief of Opera News, about this year's Opera News Awards honorees. He's brought some fabulous recordings, and that one, actually kind of rare thing to find recordings of Anja Celia.
Yes, she recorded very little in the studio, and this is something which is an approved release from Bayreuth. There are a couple of commercial things, but I don't think that kind of career really interested her. I mean, she's has a family, she's raised children. I think that she's always been very interested in the work as opposed to the legend. I don't think that she's particularly interested in a lot of the business of show business.
Mm-hmm. let's move on now to Swedish baritone Peter Mattei. He is, I'm guessing, the youngest in this year's lineup of honorees. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know what you think makes Peter Mattei a different kind of baritone than, say, for instance, Dmitri Vorostovsky.
They actually share quite a few roles. Mattei, I think, to me, is a brilliant, brilliant singing actor. Everything he does is knitted together. You have someone who's got a beautiful voice, beautifully schooled, but the dramatic intention is extraordinary.
According to your most recent issue of Opera News, Peter Mattei's Don Giovanni is considered to be one of the best in the world. Why?
I think he's got everything. I think he gives you the ability to seduce. I think he gives you the power. I think he gives you the cruelty. He gives you the humor. He's done two major productions of it this year. He stepped in on very short notice to the Grandage production, which is brand new at the Met this year, and I thought did a terrific job. And then he also did opening night of the season at La Scala as Giovanni. For Giovanni, we love to hear that music well sung because it's so beautiful. And it's a very difficult role for a number of different reasons. Chief among them is Giovanni doesn't really sing that much. Everyone else has got these great tunes and marvelous ensembles and everything, and he just has little bits of things of his own throughout the evening. And he exists as this force that binds all these people together, but he doesn't really have much time on his own. Swedish baritone Peter Mattei sounding ever so sweet and alluring in Act Two of Mozart's Don Giovanni, De Vieni alla Finestra. That, by the way, from Peter Mattei's latest CD of great baritone arias. I'm Midge Woolsey. My guest today is F. Paul Driscoll, editor-in-chief of Opera News. We're talking about and listening to this year's lineup of Opera News Awards
honorees. And speaking of your latest issue of Opera News, F. Paul Driscoll, you actually wrote the piece on soprano Carita Mattila. So I'm guessing that you feel really, really strongly about her talents.
I do. I love her. I've loved her in recital and in concert, and she's always surprised me and always given performances that are so rich in imaginative detail that they're not like anybody else's.
You've certainly seen her perform Leonora in Fidelio many, many more times than most of us. And yet, I think it's really easy to agree that her performance can be completely respected. Why do you think that is in terms of
I think that what she has is the ability to believe everything that the character has to believe as soon as she steps on stage. Every note is informed by a purity of intention that very few singers, male or female, have. I don't know where it comes from. I'm assuming that some of it is her innate ability to identify with these women. Some of it clearly is training. I mean, she had excellent training in Finland and then in London. So she has a very strong technical foundation that her voice will do what it is she wants it to do. But her ability to do the double act in Fidelio, if convince you that she's a woman in love with her husband, but also a boy who is going to have this girl fall in love with him, is extraordinary. And certainly she's a marvelous Tatiana in Eugene Onegin. She was brilliant as Elsa in Lohengrin and so on down the line. I mean, and in Janáček in Mikropoulos' case.
Well, you've brought in several of Carita Mattila's recordings. This is not from the Mikropoulos case, but it is so sweet. And I think most folks will just recognize the tune right off. If you don't recognize it, think Disney. Oh, you just had to love that. That was soprano Carita Mattila as a Scandinavian Snow White. Seems sort of appropriate, I think.
Yeah.
In Frank Churchill's Someday My Prince Will Come, sung in Carita's native Finnish, we think, with the Tapiola Sinfonietta, provided by my special guest today, F. Paul Driscoll of Opera News. We're talking about the artists who are going to be honored at this year's Opera News Awards, and that one's going to be special, I do believe.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we have one more honoree to talk about, and this is a first, the stage director, the concept of having a stage director honored.
Usually it's singers, but we've had composers and we've had conductors, but this is the first stage director.
Well, in the 1980s, I would say that Peter Sellers' name was on everyone's lips, at least where I was working, because of his adventurous trio of Mozart operas. That was a very important time in his career, don't you think?
Oh, yes. He was first noticed when he was an undergraduate at Harvard and for his work in the Boston area, and it was a very fertile time for classical music and for the bringing together of stagecraft and new thoughts about particular corners of the repertory musically. And Peter is a profoundly musical director, and I think that that's always at the front of his mind when he works on these pieces, whether it's Mozart or a new piece by Kaija Saariaho or John Adams or Vivaldi. I think the music comes first, and then he gives it a spin that no one else really does.
Now, F. Paul, is it true that Opera News didn't always approve of Peter Sellers?
Well, it's true in the sense that the first review that we can find of his work in 1980, I think, said it was an act of vandalism. I'm perhaps rephrasing that, but certainly since then, we've gotten a lot smarter about his work. He's been on the cover, I think, at least twice. But I think he's an extraordinary artist and an influential one and an important one.
What gives his work staying power?
Well, he's very interesting on the subject of his own work. When he finishes a piece, he does not like to do a second staging of it. He doesn't even like to see it again. I think he has a way of solving the particular puzzle and then doesn't want to go back to it. But it's done with a spiritual integrity that is part of who he is as a man and as an artist. I think he looks at very difficult questions about race, politics, sexuality, religion, the way he puts these 21st century concerns back into a piece like Handel's Theodora or the Mozart operas is extraordinary. And I think his work makes us a little bit uncomfortable, and that's not a bad thing. If you're going to be looking at a great work, I think you want to look at it warts and all, and that the world that Mozart and de Ponte created is not always attractive. And I think Peter embraced that. There was nothing pretty about those Mozart productions.
I want to play a clip from Nixon in China, John Adams' Nixon in China, which Peter directed both in the original production, right?
Yes.
And then again here at the Met last year. Talk about the significance of that opera in his career.
Well, it was the first of what were called the CNN operas. In other words, there was a contemporary historical event. Nixon's visit to China was certainly that's something that was highly significant for him, for China, for the United States. But when Peter was working on this with John Adams and the librettist, Alice Goodman, they wanted to create a heroic character. And that was the Nixon that they put on stage, a man who knew what his place in history was and was living through an event that would change the way East saw West and West saw East. And he did other operas since then, very controversial ones, such as Dr. Atomic and The Death of Klinghoffer, both of those with John Adams, that examine contemporary issues. And this was the first of those. And I think that that is sort of one branch of the Peter Sellers canon. The other one is obviously the reexamination of the older works.
So here we have James Maddalena as Richard Nixon. And this particular clip comes from the beginning of the opera?
It's towards the beginning. It's in the first act when the DC-10 lands in China.
And he sings, "News has a kind of mystery."
News, 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 has a kind of mystery. Has a kind of mystery. When I shook hands with Joe and Lyle, when I shook hands with Joe and
James Maddalena as Richard Nixon singing News Has a Kind of Mystery in Act One of John Adams' Nixon in China. Ada DeVart conducted the Orchestra of St. Luke's on the original 1987 recording. F. Paul Driscoll, James Maddalena, he was the same cast member in the original as in the recent production.
As at the Met, and I think that that speaks to something very unusual about Peter Sellers, is he loves to work with the same artists over and over again. And there's almost a small floating repertory company of people who move. Certainly in the 80s, that was very true. Maddalena was one of them. Sanford Sylvan was another. And then a little bit later on, Peter worked a lot with Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, with Dawn Upshaw. Now, one of the people he likes to work with quite a bit is Eric Owens, who's going to be presenting him with the Opera News Award tomorrow.
F. Paul Driscoll, thank you so much for providing us with some special insight, for joining us, for sharing your recordings with us today. Best of luck to you, your five honorees, and everyone involved with the Opera News Awards tomorrow.
Yes.
At the Plaza Hotel. Thank you.
Thank you.